These classifieds are inexpensive and get...
Frank Zappa, Friday night, May 2nd. At 8 p.m. and it's produced by Frank J. Russo.
The rock. Of the 80s, JB105.
And now Michelob hopes you enjoy Profiles in Rock.
It can't happen here. It can't happen here. I'm telling you, my dear, that it can't happen here.
Work and words of Frank Zappa.
It's not the acceptance of what I do. I mean, I think that one of the things that makes me happy is feeling useful. If I can do something useful for the society, then that makes me feel good. And there is something useful that I can do. I can say what I'm saying because nobody else is doing that. You know, that's my job. I say that. And I say it as often as I can. And every once in a while, somebody hears it and it helps them. And then... that's my job. And besides making music, you know, this is another kind of job for me, doing an interview, because I can say things in here that probably wouldn't rhyme good if you stuck it in a song, you know, or would probably hold the music back because there's too much technical stuff going on in the conversation. And that's one of the reasons why I do interviews, because if somebody hears this and it makes them think for a minute and I can affect a positive change, then that's worthwhile. The way I look at it is this. I came to certain conclusions about my life and conclusions about the way other people handle their lives because I watch them, just like a scientist would do that. Remember, I have no degrees or anything in this. I'm just a regular guy, but I keep my eyes and ears open. I listen a lot more than I talk. And I've seen some stuff, and these are my comments on the stuff that I've seen. And if you think these comments are valid and they can be useful to you, then go ahead and use them. And if you think it's a bunch of bull... then don't use it, you know, just go listen to something else. It's okay, there's tons of other amusement for you out there.
Oh, and it won't happen here.
No, man, you guys are really safe. But they were freak out in the suburbs. Everything's cool.
I remember to-do, I remember to-do, I remember to-do, they had a swimming pool. I remember to-do, I remember to-do, they had a swimming pool. I remember to-do, I remember to-do, they had a swimming pool. And they thought it couldn't happen here. They knew it couldn't happen here. They were so sure it couldn't happen here, but Susie.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I've always loved it. Yes, I agree, man. It really makes it. Yeah, psychedelic. It's a real thing, man. It really makes it.
Susie, you just got to town, and we've been very interested in your development since you first took the shots.
Forget it!
It can't happen here, can't happen here, can't happen here.
Hi, I'm Terry McGovern. And this week on Profiles in Rock, we'll visit with one of the more influential figures in the development of rock culture, Frank Zappa. Zappa first gained a wide following back in the mid-60s as leader of the legendary Mothers of Invention. Since that time, his music, films, and lyrics have been Zappa's creative vehicle, and his ideas on sex, religion, hypocrisy, and American society have shocked the establishment. Zappa spoke about these themes one Sunday afternoon recently in his home recording studio in Los Angeles.
Mostly what the themes have to do with is sociological questions, or the main function being providing an alternative to the type of subject matter that's dealt with in the lyrics of other people's songs. Everybody else writes about love, or they write about cars, or they write about loving cars, or things, you know, the weather report type songs like The Leaves Are Falling Down, The Wind Is Blowing, that kind of stuff. Basically, who needs that crap, you know what I mean? So, I provide lyrics about things that are on other topics or dealing in a more direct and sometimes brutal way with the topics that other people deal with and just beat around the bush, you know? And I hate people beating around the bush. It's a time-wasting procedure, you know. So a lot of people are offended by my lyrics because they're direct and they go exactly to the point of what needs to be said about certain topics that make people squeamish. And I've always said this is their problem, they get squeamish. But those lyrics need to be done that way in order to provide a service for the people who want to hear those kind of lyrics.
What's the ugliest part of your body? What's the ugliest part of your body? Some say your nose, some say your toes, but I think it's your mind. 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 I think your mind is the ugliest part of your body.
One of Zappa's strong lyrical themes is contemporary life and what he thinks are the major problems in American society.
Well, I don't want to use the word sick, but I would say that there are certain things about it that are not optimum, you know. I would say that in general that the society is quite neurotic, but it's not just in terms of sex. It's on other levels too, you know. The whole idea of what constitutes the good life in America is something that is, as far as my philosophy goes, something that is pretty far off the mark. You know, what people will use as their standard for having achieved a wonderful life is often very strange. The type of material possessions that people wish to accumulate and the things that they wish to do with these possessions after they've accumulated them in order to prove to somebody else that they have got the goods, and, you know, the way they behave when they have these goods. And it's not just the goods, and it's not just the behavior, it's the whole cycle of the things they will do, the things they will subject themselves to in order to get the goods. And the deficit spending, which happens as people do anything to acquire these goods so they look like they are worth something, you know, without thinking about whether or not they're happy doing any of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Fellow Americans.
He's been sick. They think his wife is going to bring him some chicken soup. It's hard to defend an unpopular policy every once in a while.
Plastic people, oh baby,
and there's this guy from the CIA and he's creeping around Laurel Canyon.
Fine little girl, she waits for me. She's as plastic as she can be. She paints her face with plastic goo and wrecks her hair with some shampoo.
Plastic people, oh, oh baby, now you're such a drag.
I don't know, sometimes I just get tired of you, honey. It's that's your hairspray or something. I hear the sound of marching feet down Sunset Boulevard to Crescent Heights, and there at Pandora's Box, we are confronted with a vast quantity of plastic people.
Take a day and walk around. Watch the Nazis run your town. Then go home and check yourself. You think we're singing about someone else?
Plastic people, oh baby, now you're such a drag.
found no love. I'm sure that love will never be a product of plasticity. A product of plasticity. A product of plasticity.
Plastic people.
Your foot. Your hand. Your nose. Your eyes. You eat. Suck.
Plastic.
You are. Your being is you. Plastic people. Blah, 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 blah.
Plastic.
Plastic. Carrots, I think
that's a vegetable. No, a prune is not a vegetable. Cabbage is a vegetable, makes
you
no
drive. You dream about. You think only of. You're real. You are. Apples. Plastic. Purple prancing.
Everybody.
Well, my theory is that the human organism was basically designed to be comfortable. It wants to be comfortable, and it wants to have a good time. I don't think I've come across anybody in my travels that really wish to be miserable. You know? There are people who make themselves miserable, but I don't think they really want to be that way. They'd probably prefer something else, but I think that's the basic human drive, is to have a good time. Things start going wrong when people choose weird ways to have a good time. You know, it's a matter of personal development. People have to develop themselves. It's not something that gets inflicted on them externally by a government agency or a religion or a guru or anything like that. If you're going to get better at being alive, you have to do it yourself. And you have to think about modifying your behavior so that it feels better to you. You know, people are, because of their jobs, these horrible jobs they're doing in order to get these goods that they think are going to make them happy, while they're going through all this stuff, they're modifying their own behavior to accommodate the job. All right. And after a certain number of years of this, they forget who they are. They got the goods, they got the car, they got all this stuff, you know, but they don't know who they are anymore, and then they're unhappy and they don't know why, and then they start reaching out for other things, other types of goods that they think are going to straighten them out. That's why you have the big boom in cult religions and, you know, other kinds of religions and, you know, various types of psychiatric help and stuff like that. And it's a waste. It's not going to work. You know, you're never going to arrive at the right answer by having somebody charge you money and inflict it on you from the outside. It's all happening inside your own little domain.
Our interview with Frank Zappa covered a wide range of subjects, and he spoke very candidly about sex and censorship. All that's coming later, because in a moment, Frank Zappa tackles what he calls the link between hypocrisy and stupidity, organized religion. We'll hear his strong ideas and two songs that many stations have banned from the radio when Profiles in Rock continues.
Well, I am against, in terms of religion, is the way in which the people who operate the religions lie to the people who consume the services of the religion. The major religions, the big ones, are real estate operations. Let's face it, the Catholic Church, no matter what you think about whether or not you're going to heaven, the Catholic Church is an enormous real estate operation. It owns large parts of the planet, and that's it. And when you stick the money in the box, they buy more pieces of the planet, and they derive profit. It is a very wealthy, prosperous real estate operation, you know? And all of the major religions are major because they are substantial. Not because they are more valid in terms of doctrine, but because they own property. That's the difference between a cult and a religion. A cult doesn't have property. You might have a storefront, you know, you might have a guy yelling at you. But after you've raised enough money in your building fund, you know, they say they're sending to those missions overseas. It never goes over there. It goes into condominiums and stuff right around your neighborhood. They buy vacant lots. They build on it. You know, New York City, the Manhattan Island, a big chunk of it, including Harlem, is owned by the Catholic Church. That's your landlord there. You know, people don't realize this. The dividing line between an established religion and a cult is based purely on how much property the organization controls. And when you own land and you have money, that gives you a lot of clout in governmental circles, because now they can't kick you around and call you names because you got bucks. Religion, if it makes you happy, is wonderful for you. Anything that makes you happy, if that fulfills the missing link in your life to straighten you out with the rest of the universe, go for it. Just keep your eye on the people that are taking your money. Don't let yourself be abused by these people.
The mystery man came over and he said, I'm out of sight. He said, for a nominal service charge, I could reach Nirvana tonight. If I was ready, willing, and able to pay him his regular fee, he would drop all the rest of his pressing affairs and devote his attention to me. But I said,
look here, brother, who you jiving with that cosmic debris?
Now, who you jiving with that cosmic debris? Now I thought it was a razor and a can of foaming goo, but he told me right then when the top popped open there was nothing his box won't do with the oil of Aphrodite and the dust of the Grand Wazoo. He said, you might not believe this, little fellow, but it'll cure your asthma too. And I said,
look here, brother,
now what kind of a guru are you anyway?
Look here, brother, don't you waste your time on me.
Don't waste your time. Troubles of my own, I said, and you can't help me out, so take your meditations and your preparations and ram it up your snout.
But I got that crystal ball,
he said, and held it to the light. So I snatched it all away from him, and I showed him how to do it right.
I wrapped the newspaper around my head so I looked like I was me.
Price of meat has just gone up and your old lady has just gone down.
Look here, brother, who you jiving with that cosmic debris?
Now is that a real poncho or is that a Sears poncho? Don't you know you could make more money as a butcher? So don't you waste your time on me.
Zappa's willingness to write direct, explicit lyrics has brought him in conflict with both radio stations and some organized religious groups. This next track, from his Shake Your Booty album, brought protests from a prominent Jewish organization, the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith. The track is called Jewish Princess.
nasty little Jewish princess. With long bony nails and a hairdo that rings. Oh, horny little Jewish princess. With a garlic aroma that could level Tacoma. Hairy little Jewish princess, la, 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 with a brand new nose, who knows where it goes.
It wasn't based on religion, it was based on ethnicity. It was based on the idea that an organ of the B'nai B'rith, the Anti-Defamation League, decided to go on a campaign against me because I had written a song that they claimed portrayed an unfair stereotype of a Jewish girl. My answer to this is prove it doesn't exist, you know, because there's plenty of Jewish princesses that came out of the woodwork to say, yeah, that song is correct. That's true, you know, and I know it's true because I've seen these girls, you know. I have dealt with them on an interpersonal level, and they're there, and that's what they do. I didn't invent sandblasting zits, you know. I'm not one of the people that goes to have my zits blasted off. They do, and just because I write a song about it, somebody gets upset. I didn't ask for a nose job, they did. And it's been going on for years, so I write a song about it. They get upset. You know, the things that are in that song are things that are real. They're true. Okay? Now, the Jews have an organization that is designed to manufacture a stereotyped image of all Jews. That's the job of the ADL. They want Jews to look just so in print. And they came after me, and they've come after other people who are Jews, trying to make them change what they wrote and what they said in order to promote an image of Jews that doesn't exist. There is no uniform image of Jews because they're all different. And there's all different sects inside of the Jewish faith, you know, and they don't resemble each other at all. And so how can you try and smooth the whole thing over? It's preposterous. Now, the problem is they have a lot of money. And so they want to have something in the newspapers that day to let the news media know that they exist and their worthy cause and so forth. So they pick on various things to prosecute, or not in the legal sense, because I was never prosecuted, but, you know, to just pursue this idea in the media that some villain has come along and maligned some aspect of their ethnicity. You know, that's not the intent of the song. And what they made out of it is definitely your mountain out of a molehill syndrome.
Jews are just one of the religious groups whose stereotypes have been satirized by Zappa. In this track, his subject is Catholic girls.
The way they go every day, and none of their mamas ever seem to know. Hip, hip, hooray for all the class they show. There's no
We'd play the rest of the track, but it contains some rather explicit references that are not usually heard on the radio. The whole question of sex and lyrics is one that's concerned Zappa for years, and it's a major reason a lot of his music is never played on American radio stations.
Some treat those songs in the spirit with which they're written, which is a combination of investigative journalism and vaudeville. You know, lies somewhere in between those two poles. You know anything about donkeys? sometimes in order to get the donkey to move, you have to hit him between the eyes with a 2x4. And there is a similarity between the donkey and certain segments of the population who have been stultified by that other type of material. In order to get them to pay attention, you have to go bonk and make them pay attention.
More from Frank Zappa on sex and so-called dirty language when Profiles in Rock continues.
Rock. Of the 80s, JB105.
Profiles in Rock, Frank Zappa.
You know, I happen to write about sex because it's a common thing, you know. This is something that pervades our society. It's there, you know, we have to deal with it. And there are probably people out there, especially young people, who are entering the mysterious world of love and romance who want some advice, you know. In the old days, rhythm and blues songs were the training devices for kids trying to find out how do you do it, what do you do, where do you go, and what do you say. These records provided some of the lines that the early founders of the Rock and Roll Society would use to pick up girls. You know, there was a line in a song, and you would use that song to hit on a girl. There was a story told in a song, and you would apply that story to your personal conduct, and it would guide your life. Today, since times have changed, and attitudes have changed, and the clothes have changed, and everything is different, sort of, than the way it used to be then, so you need different lines that will be useful to you in your social life. Certain types of nerds will use the lines from those serious rock artists, you know, the intensive care contingent of the rock world. They will pick up on that stuff, and then when they go to interrelate with a, you know, some partner that they have chosen for their sexual activities, they will spew back and forth these attitudes and lines that they've picked up from these horrible wimpy little numbers, you know, and this perpetuates a kind of bad mental health, which keeps America retarded in the wonderful experimental field of interpersonal relationships. You know, we're retarded in that way. So this is partly due to the fact that alternate information in that field is not provided by radio stations. You see, they're playing so much of this normal boy-girl relationship kind of stuff that the young person coming into the field for the first time hears nothing but this boring stuff, you know. And I want to do something about that. I think that there's more to life than leaves falling off the trees and the wind blowing, kissing the girl or the boy or whatever it is in your case, and getting together and going away and making up again and then driving in your car. There is more to life than that. And that is one of the things that I express in my songs. People become irritated about the fact that these things are expressed in my songs, and they want to do something about it. So what they do is they don't play the records on the radio, or they give them bad reviews, trying to keep people away from this type of information. Really, there is nothing wrong with what I'm doing. It scares the f*** out of some people.
Give me your dirty love, like you might surrender to some dragon in your dreams. Give me your dirty love, like a pink donation to the dragon in your dreams. I don't need your sweet devotion, and I don't want your cheap emotion.
Whip me up some dragon lotion for your dirty love. Your dirty love.
Give me your dirty love, like some tacky little pamphlet in your daddy's bottom drawer. Give me your dirty love. I don't believe you never seen his book before. I don't need no consolation. I don't want your reservation. I only got one destination, and that's your dirty love. Your dirty love. Oh,
let your mama make her fuzzy poodle do. Give me your dirty love, the way your mama make that nasty poodle chew. I'll ignore your cheap aroma and your little Bo Peep diploma.
I'll just put you in a coma with some dirty love. Some dirty love. That dirty love. That dirty love.
The poodle bites.
Come on, French.
The poodle chews its
nappy.
The poodle bites.
Come on, French.
The poodle chews its
nappy.
The poodle bites.
Come on, French.
The poodle chews its
nappy.
Poodle bites.
Come on, French.
Poodle chews.
Not a speck of cereal.
Poodle bites.
Come on, French.
Poodle chews.
Nothing but the best for my
poodle bites.
That was Zappa with the Mothers of Invention in the early 70s. Nowadays, he's tackling subjects like wet t-shirt contests.
Ah, thanks. I guess it's wet t-shirt time again. Here at the Brasserie, home of the... And it's the charming Mary from Canoga Park up next in her bid for the semifinals. Hi, Mary. How you doing?
Hi.
Where are you from?
The bus.
Which one?
You know, the last tour. Oh, you know, leather.
Oh, you were the girl that was stuck to seat 38 on Fido 3. Why don't you get in position now and take a deep breath? Because this water is very, very cold, but it's going to be so stimulating. And Mary's the kind of red-blooded American girl who'll do anything. I said
anything
for 50 bucks. That's right.
I really need the 50 bucks. You know, I gotta get home.
Yeah, I know. Your father is waiting for you in the tool shed. That's right. You heard right. Our big prize tonight is 50 American dollars to the girl with the most exciting mammalian protuberances.
Here I am.
As viewed through a thoroughly soaked, stupid-looking, white sort of male person's conservative kind of middle-of-the-road cotton undergarment, whoopee. And here comes the water. No, you'd squeak more if the water got... Sounds like you just got an ice pick in the forehead. And here comes the ice pick in the forehead. Million laughs, Mary. Anyway, good golly, what a mess. She's totally soaked.
Totally, I love it.
Yeah, totally committed to the 50 bucks. That's it. Just step into the spotlight. Let the guys get a good look at you, honey. What do you say, fellas? Nice set of jugs. Now, Mary, how's about shaking it around a little? Oh, my goodness, look at her go. Ain't this what living is really all about? Here's your 50 bucks, Mary.
Oh, great. Now I can go home.
Woo! Home is where the heart is.
On the bus.
I didn't invent them. They're all over the United States. This is real stuff. Just because I'm the guy that mentions that it exists doesn't mean that I'm the one that is judging women this way. I didn't judge them. Remember, people aren't kidnapped in order to enter a wet t-shirt contest. They go in there. These girls want that. You know, I've seen it. You know, it happens. It's real. So why blame me? You know, why single me out as the person who is against all this stuff? I'm not against people being who and what they are. And I'm in favor of people realizing who and what they are and just getting on with their business and not pretending that something else is going on. I mean, if you're the kind of a girl that wants $50 to have your nipples showing through a t-shirt when it gets wet, and that makes you happy, do it. Because there's plenty of guys out there who really enjoy it, too. You know? This is wonderful. But if you're a person who is a female sort of a person who likes to wear men's suits and ties, and talk in particular kinds of phrases, then I don't think that you should enter a wet t-shirt contest, because it wouldn't be fun for you.
More than Zappa's ideas, it's the language he sometimes uses that gets his songs banned from the radio.
It's primitive foolishness to believe that there are certain words in any language that are going to corrupt you the moment you hear them. It's stupidity, you know, and it's really juvenile behavior. Why do we cling to these beliefs? Everybody talks that way in real life, you know. That is the way the real world is. Now, why do we keep these things off of songs on the radio? Why pick on me? Why not pick on the village people when they have the word f*** in one of their songs? I think it's in YMCA. There's f*** in there. And that was a big hit. Why are you picking on me? You know? And a lot of other lyrics by serious heavy rock artists, you know, that are dealing with sexual allusions that are very thinly disguised. And then disco songs like Pushing the Bush and all the rest of this stuff. I mean, what are they talking about? And then they pick on me, you know? It's not rational. The way I look at it is there is no such thing as a dirty word. Words ain't going to hurt you. Remember that one about sticks and stones can break my bones and words are not going to hurt you? Then if that's true, then why is all media screened for mystery words? I mean, what is this? It's the 20th century.
But not all of Zappa's work is controversial.
This is a song about vegetables. They keep you regular. They're real good for you.
Call once a day. Call when you get off a train. Call any vegetable. Call any vegetable. And the chances are good. All the vegetable will respond to you.
Some people don't go for prunes. I don't know. I've always found that if they...
Call any vegetable.
Call any vegetable.
Pick up your phone.
Call any vegetable.
Think of a vegetable.
Call any vegetable.
Lonely at home.
Call any vegetable.
Call any vegetable. And the chances are good that a vegetable will respond to you.
Rutabaga, 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 rutabaga.
A prune isn't really a vegetable. Cabbage is a vegetable.
No one will know if you don't want to let them know. No one will know unless it's you that might tell them so. Call and they'll come to you covered with a dew. Vegetables dream of responding to you. Standing there shiny and proud by your side, holding your hand while the neighbors decide. Why is a vegetable something to have?
People don't bother about their friends in the vegetable kingdom. They think, what can I say? What can a person like myself say to a vegetable? But the answer is simple, my friends. Just call and tell them how you feel about muffins, pumpkins, wax paper, Caledonia mahogany's elbows, and green things in general. And soon a new rapport, you and your new little green and yellow buddies, rooming together, oh no, maintaining your coolness together, worshiping together in the church of your choice, only in America.
Train. Call any vegetable, and the chances are good that the vegetable will respond to you. Oh no, can you see them responding? The pumpkin is breathing hard.
with a pumpkin.
There's still more to come from Frank Zappa. We'll hear his views on hypocrisy and get a surprising look at Zappa's image versus his reality. All that when Profiles in Rock continues.
The most common form of hypocrisy, people who are pretending that they're cool. By cool, let's examine coolness and cuteness, both of which are types of stupidity. In the American high school system, you have coolness and you have cuteness. They might call them different things today, but when I was going to school, that's what they call it. And other school systems around the world don't have this. That, you know, the idea of being cool and being cute is particularly American and therefore particularly retarded. And so as long as somebody in your school gets labeled cool or cute, then that person has been set apart and is now worshipped for his or her coolness or cuteness. And so everybody else wants a piece of the action, of course. This is the American way. And so they strive to be cool and cute, which means they take things out of their life which are really valuable to them as people, throw them aside, and pretend to be cool and cute so that they can reach this upper nirvana level that the other people in the school have achieved. And that's where the trouble begins. See, America is the type of society that is so youth-oriented, you have to think very carefully about school pressures because they're carried with you for the rest of your life. You get to the office, there's a cool guy in the office, there's a cute guy in the office, and a cool girl and a cute girl, and you know, it goes on and on. There's even cute politicians and cool politicians and stuff. You know, you start analyzing your whole experience in terms of cuteness and coolness, and usually the people who are cool and cute contain no, there's nothing else to them. They're merely cool and merely cute. That's it. They got nothing else to offer except to be something to look at, or, you know, it's boring. But that's the way Americans like to think. They live their lives based on attaining that goal. It's not good. It takes the fun out of life. Basically, I've been against coolness and cuteness. And the initial appeal of the early stuff that we did was to people who were definitely not cool and definitely not cute. We had probably more ugly looking, uncool type people in our audience than any other group in the history of rock and roll. You know, and I'm proud of that, you know, because somebody has to play music for ugly people and people who don't care about coolness and cuteness, you know. Just because you're not physically attractive doesn't mean you're a bad person, you know. I say so. I speak from experience.
Much about dancing, that's why I got this song. One of my legs is shorter than the other, and both of my feet's too long. Of course, now right along with them, I got no natural rhythm, but I go dancing every night, hoping one day I might get it right. I'm a dancing fool. That beat, I jump out of my seat, but I can't compete, cause I'm a dancing fool. Dancing fool. The disco folks all dressed up like they're fit to kill. I walk on in and see them there, gonna give them all a thrill. When they see me coming, they all steps aside. He has a bit while I commit my social suicide. I'm a dancing fool. Dancing fool. I'm a dancing fool. Dancing fool. The beat goes on and I'm so low. The beat goes on and I'm so low. The beat goes on and I'm so low.
Yowza, yowza, yowza. I'm
got it all together now. With